Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Parkscope Unprofessional Podcast Hour from the remote studio. I am currently in a remote studio somewhere in Ohio, not my main one. Not sure exactly where, but we'll figure that out very soon. Anyways, we're doing a very special episode due to various circumstances, which we'll be talking about.
Duty.
Anyway, joining us tonight is Brian. Brian, how are you doing?
I am wonderful. How are you, Joe?
I'm hanging in there. It's been an interesting day, as you know.
I know. Typhoon Lagoon's Misadventure Falls is coming out March 12th.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Completely. Who'd have known? but yeah, it's been quite a day for me, but in the respective transparency, the utmost transparency, unlike, you know, the United States government. Just not pointing fingers.
No politics, Joe, or I'm gone.
There we go. That's my one politics joke. I have a lovely 16-inch blue can of Conky Dong right here that I'm going to be opening up from Who Farted Brewing. Boom. There we go. So some Conky Dong. Yeah, there we go.
I have a Pepsi and a Halloween Horror Nights service.
Yeah, so. I don't have a Halloween Horror Nights service, so you're winning on that front. But yep, that was some wonderful Foley work that you could only get from the Wonders of Life beforehand. But yes, nice bottle of Conky Dong. There we go. So let's start off the show real quick. So Brian.
Yes, Joe.
We got Halloween Horror Nights dates, I guess.
Yeah.
So. What do we have? So we have September 15th starts everything. So it starts September 15th, ends November 4th. So it's 34 days, I believe, right?
Yep,
34 dates, bunch of Thursdays. Are there any Wednesdays? I forget if I saw any of those.
Yeah, later on in the event there is.
Yeah, it looks like it starts in October. 4th starts the Wednesday dates. So it's the 15th through the 17th and the 21st through the 24th. Yeah, that's an interesting one. Why isn't there a Thursday date for the 28th of September?
People have come up with different rationale. My rationale is you're getting the 3rd and the 4th of November, which hasn't been done since besides last year, which was the exception because they made updates for Matthew, but that yeah. They haven't really done November for quite some time. So I think they gave up a Thursday that normally is dead for an extra 2 days of November.
Okay, interesting.
That's my thought process, at least.
Okay, fair enough. And then we have pretty much then after that, every Wednesday through Sunday from October 1st all the way until the end of October, and then the 3rd or 4th and November. So
no, what's interesting is you actually have a straight week of Horror Nights towards the end.
Yeah, you have the 25th all the way to the 31st. So,
Horror Nights on a Tuesday should be wonderful.
well, nothing says horror more than Tuesdays. That's something I've learned in that's something I've learned in workplace relationships. I'll tell you that right now. Is there like anything else to talk about, or just like let's move on from here?
Other than you can buy now your vacation packages, no, there's not much.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, we don't have any information on Rush of Fear or Frequent Fear or any of that stuff yet, so.
I will say, I guess we can touch upon, this is the first time in a few years that they've actually released the dates later. Because if you remember the Horror Nights 25, they originally announced the dates, then they changed it. And then last year, as soon as the event ended, they came out with it. This year they waited some time. I think they were trying to see what they wanted to do as far as do they – because there's been some rumors and people fervoring for a basically 30 straight days of Horror Nights. And I don't know if they have the – if they want to give the cast that kind of brutal workload, because that, even though they're on time just for 45 minutes at a time, it's draining. So
yeah,
St. Mardi Gras.
I mean it's a bit, and also plus like, hey, I mean – these are actual actors you're hiring on for like a month. So you kind of want to make sure you can like lock them up for that long. So, So Halloween Horror Nights. So we have two other topics. So let's start off with our main topic. Jimmy Fallon, Race Through New York, starring Jimmy Fallon, soft open tonight. Luckily, Brian went there and wrote it.
And I know, just by chance I was there.
Just by chance you were there, yeah. Who'd have thought? Man, you were really lucky to be there. Who'd have thought?
I know.
So the big thing was you texted me like, hey, do you got any questions? And I'm like, why don't we do a show? So we're doing a show now. So I've not asked you any of my thoughts.
No.
On what this is. So we're going to go in this pretty blindly. So I guess my general question is, what would you rate the attraction in general? And then we'll move on from there.
On the ride itself or the overall experience?
The overall experience, what would you rate on a 5-point scale?
3.5.
Okay. I think that's pretty – what would you rate Twister?
On the overall experience or Bill Paxton?
Oh, may he rest in peace.
God bless the dead.
Yes. There we go. Point the fingers in the air. Overall experience, again.
I'm probably one of the few that actually liked the attraction for what it was, even though it didn't thematically fit New York. I was really high on Twister 4. But that's
four? Really?
I really loved – I'm a sucker for that movie, and I'm a sucker for Bill Paxton, jokes aside.
I would still give Twister a 3, 3.5. I mean, that's which is respectable, but like that's pretty close. But okay, yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Remember when we're going into that Universal doing everything rides. Twister was still an old school, this is how we do special effects kind of thing. So
yeah, it was still a experience and see the movies as opposed to ride the movies.
And back when Twister was becoming a thing, back when, you know, you had to read newspapers for your theme park blogging, I was actually excited, even though I was sad to see Ghostbusters go. I was really looking forward to Twister when I saw it was announced. I was really upset. Granted, it was delayed because of the tornadoes, but I was really upset when they delayed it. Like, I was really high on that attraction.
Okay. Well, we all have that one. Mine was Test Track, clearly. Mine didn't work out quite as well, but...
We're all devices.
Yes, exactly. I'm trying to think. Like, so you showed up this afternoon, late this afternoon.
Miraculously, yes.
Miraculously, yes, clearly. Just you're like, you know, you're just at home, you're getting ready, you're cleaning, and all of a sudden you just like drop what you're doing. You look up like, I have to go to Universal.
Pretty much.
And then you go there. And, you know, things happen. So you were there miraculously. And... Let's start off with the did you do the ticketing booking system?
Well, they didn't actually have that part set up.
Okay. Never mind then.
What it worked like was what Express would be.
Okay.
I think they just made it just open whoever comes, especially because it was done with a little fanfare. How it worked was how Express would. You just walk right in and you get the color-coded ticket.
Yep. Okay. So I guess then... So what appears right now is that there's that giant – so when Twister was there, you entered roughly the same area where you enter for Fallon, correct? So – and then you take that right and then you go down that walkway. So what appears like now is that underneath the Metro signage, there's the ticket booths, which is where some of those walkways would be, and that's where you'd get those return time tickets, correct?
Yeah, correct.
Okay. So when you get the return time tickets, so like, hey, I get there at 11:30 at the tickets because I rode Minions or went to Gringotts and whatever. So I get my ticket, and it says come back at 2 o'clock. Okay, so it's 2 o'clock now. I came back. What's my experience like?
All right, so you walk down a hallway full of NBC through the years posters. They're
so do you take a right, a left, or go straight? So you go into that main... So, like, imagining I'm walking into the Twister entrance again, is it a
straight? So basically, it's the same thing as Twister, except now it's enclosed.
Okay, so you take a right and you're walking down.
Right. Okay. You come into a U-turn and you're basically in a recreation of the 30 Rock lobby.
I've seen some photos of that, and that looks now. I'm really not a huge fan of this attraction, but man, that looks really good.
That's what I think. Even before I wrote it, from what people told me, that's the high point. Is you walk in and there's even a what's their names? The page desk. There's a page desk, and that's where they hand you the color coded tickets.
Okay.
And the way it works is they have several NBC logos naturally throughout the lobby. And in the lobby is the Tonight Show Museum, and it has references to all six. And when the
all the way from Jack Pearson's to
Steve Allen.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Not Jack Pearson's, yeah.
Jack Parr, sorry.
So Steve Allen, Jack Parr,
Carson, Leno, Carson, O'Brien, yeah. And which I think a lot of people found surprising that he was there. But he was still a Tonight Show host regardless. And he even said, even when he had that whole problem and exit,
yeah,
he said, "Hey, I'm the fifth person to host this show, and not many other people can say that." So,
and also, do you want to talk about the exhibits a little bit?
I mean, they're just pictures and nothing really over the top that I was like, "Ooh, interesting."
There's a Triumph.
Besides the Triumph, but it's nothing really like overtly like historic, if you will.
Okay.
It's still cool to see.
Yeah. They have suits. They have cue cards. I think they said.
Cue cards for that was like the general display.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. But like I can see people like posing with Triumph from Conan and maybe some of those other ones.
Absolutely. It's basically a photo op, but still nice to it's a nice little touch.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, the color goes in order of the Peacock logo,
which is kind of brilliant. I really like that.
Oh, it is, and you know your place. So if you get I mean, I don't remember the colors offhand, but I think red, if you're red and you, or the red is called and you have the purple ticket, you know, you're two away. So it's really simple to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're all waiting in the first lobby, you know, checking out the museum, the NBC ding goes off, the lobby illuminates in the color that's called. And then you go,
so it does the ding, ding, ding.
Thing. Right. And then you go up to the second floor, which same principle. You wait until it's your ride time. And then the second floor is where a bulk of you'll see the positive reviews because it's like a waiting area. There's benches where you can charge your phones. There's like a little game area for the kids. It's really simple, just app type games, but on a big screen. And of course, the entertainment of the Ragtime Gals, hashtag Panda, and lip sync battle as you wait.
So I just saw hashtag the panda is running around outside the attraction right now.
Makes sense. He was everywhere while I was there. Okay. Even outside of his like, he's meeting guests now. Like when I was waiting to actual board the theater.
Yeah.
He just cut through our line. Like, sorry, he just does whatever he wants.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Yeah. Anyway, sorry, continue.
Well, I don't know. What other questions do you have? I don't want to just give it.
So there was a first floor queue experience, and that's where you wait for your color, correct?
Yeah, well, both are experiences. One's just a little bit more subdued with the museum.
Okay.
The second floor is the same thing, except you have all the, you know, hashtag.
So when do you get called for your color?
Well, here's the thing. When I initially walked in, they gave me the blue ticket, and blue was being called.
Okay.
And I purposely skipped it because I wanted to check everything out. I was like, well, I didn't even have any time to check out the museum down here. I'm going to hold back.
You wait for the next blue.
So I had to wait to five other colors before it was my turn.
Okay.
So theoretically, what would have been probably a 25-minute experience for me ended up being 55.
Okay. Fair enough. Or it would have been 10 minutes.
Maybe, at best.
Okay.
Well, no, because you still have to wait in the second floor. And some of the people I realized that I saw from the first floor were still there by the time I got up.
So what I'm trying to think is, like, how does the progression work for these, like, attractions? Like, because you have people showing – because when you get a ticket, it's like a fast pass. And you're showing up within a timed window. And then when you show up within a timed window, I assume then you get the – colored number, like the colored, you know, plaque kind of thing for the for the NBC logo. So my question is, like, how is that kind of pacing? And I'm trying to think how that would go for the pacing.
It's kind of hard to tell with today.
Okay.
One, it's first day of soft opening.
Mm-hmm.
Two, there was no express / virtual return. And three, only one theater was in operation.
Oh, okay. Okay. So it's so, half capacity. So.
Right. The way that it normally – when I got to the second floor, it was waiting like normal. And I was there for about 15 minutes, 20 minutes.
Okay.
You hand your ticket and then you go into the second part of the area, which is a straight line where you pick up your goggles before you actually enter in the pre-show.
Mm-hmm.
And that was about maybe five minutes.
Okay.
So I'd say second floor about 15, actual ride 5. Then you're in the pre-show, and that's about 5 minutes, and then you're boarding.
Okay, cool. I mean, because that's a real big question, because like people are like, oh, you know, all this crazy stuff about the queue list stuff. So it's really interesting to see how they get people into one main area from like for a 20-minute span, and then they send those that 20-minute block up, like just you know kind of how they like so you got like let's just say like really crazy 100 people, they block them up into 5 groups based on when they arrive. They send that group of 5 upstairs, and then the next 20 comes in, and how they deal with that group of 5 later. So I'm just thinking mentally, like from an industrial engineering perspective, how that works. So.
It's about a ride. It's ride capacity. The colors they give to about. So excuse me. So it was 6 rows of 12.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. Whatever that number is. Sorry, I'm bad at math.
72.
There you go. Mm-hmm. So it's basically 72 at a time. So for example, my color was blue. When they call blue to go to the second floor, they're already calling green to go up.
Mm-hmm.
So. It's basically stagging, like, all right, so the next color goes as the color before is going up the stairs.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
For a first day, it works seamlessly, but granted, again, that half capacity, not virtual queuing yet, well, and it's whole.
I'm knocking on this also this whole wood desk right now, so that helps. what would you describe – so you described a little bit of the downstairs experience with the suits and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So what's going on upstairs in the waiting area, especially with some of the interactive stuff with the live entertainment and that kind of thing? Like what's going on there? Because that's kind of nebulous to me still.
Yeah, so you can either be part of the crowd or not. Like I said, there's an area where you can just sit on the bench and wait, charge your phone if you just want to – sit in the AC before you wait your turn.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a whole other area that has the stage where the performances happen. In between mm-hmm. performances, I'd say maybe the Ragtime Gals came out after a 5-minute downtime.
Mm-hmm.
In between, though, they play clips. And
so from the show? I assume?
Yeah, from the show. Like a best of.
Would it be just Jimmy Fallon or is it the whole entire Tonight Show?
Just Jimmy Fallon,
okay.
From what I saw at least.
Well, that's fine. I just want to make sure we're clear on that. So cool.
So yeah, Ragtime Gals, by the time I was walking up the stairs, they were done with their actual acapella set.
And so you assume they probably do that every half hour or so?
Yeah, from the 3 I saw, it was the acapella set, and then they did half acapella, half lip sync battle.
Mm-hmm.
And then it went to hashtag.
Okay.
Now, the Ragtime Gals don't come out and meet people, at least, again, from what I saw, but Hashtag does.
Okay.
Hashtag has a big presence.
Well, I mean, they do sell a $100 costume of him, so I assume. Okay, cool. So what else happens up there?
That's it.
That's it? So how does the queuing experience go?
From what I had, it's not... And I posted this on the Orlando United forums, by the way. You make sure to check it out.
Oh, those guys. Yeah.
And it's not elaborately themed like mm-hmm. the queue winners of Kong or Potter, but it is their best theme park queue to date, just from the experiences alone. It's
really nice.
It's waiting without making you feel like you're waiting.
Okay, cool.
You're not back to back in front of, you know, behind the annoying baby or behind the smelly guy.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to do everything your own pace on the first floor. When it's your time, go to the second floor, do whatever you want, enjoy the action, or just sit down. And when it's your time to go, you go ride.
Okay, cool.
But I think the entertainment that they provided was really well done. Songs of today, and they did a good job singing it. Hashtag, of course, is always entertaining. Because he's a panda that dances.
Most of them don't dance. They're really kind of boring. I've seen a lot of panda videos. They're kind of boring.
Panda.
So your caller gets called to ride the ride. So what happens next?
You pick up your goggles and you wait to ride. The pre-show video is – they did the safety spiel, which I think – yeah, they did. They did release
with the
for
roots.
Us to get a preview. Yeah, with the Roots doing a
that was I
freestyle.
Really, I really like that.
Yeah, that I was trying to gauge the opinions and comments from the people around me. They uh-huh. seem to really dig that.
Okay, cool.
I don't want to be too harsh, but that's where it kind of takes a dive.
Well, I mean, we all kind of assume that, but yeah, okay.
I'm not the biggest fan of Fallon's humor. I think his bits are the reason why The Tonight Show is successful. His stand-up
or was successful.
Well, yeah, he's falling behind Colbert. Terrible timing, by the way.
Yeah, really awkward on that front.
But his jokes is just not my cup of tea. Mm-hmm. There were people laughing, but they weren't overly in it when he was doing the jokes. Let me just say spoilers, just in case people are really anal about this. The Ew Girl does make an appearance in the pre-show spiel.
Okay.
For no reason, just to be a distraction.
Sure.
And that's part of the problem with the ride too. It just okay, she's there, and he's like, "Oh no, we're not ready yet." It just feels like that was filler in order before you actually board.
It's sort of like reference.
And
then you jump back, and it's like, what was that? No idea what's going on here. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Okay. I do want to say, spoiler again. There is a reference. She does say something that's actually referenced in the ride later on. So at least there's that tie-in.
Oh, interesting. Chekhov's gun. So I was looking at some of your photos, and I saw that like there's this massive TV screen above the load area, or is that a TV screen or a Jumbotron or a projection?
Yeah, I think from where I was, it made the TV look bigger.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay.
It was about huge. Yeah, it was about 80, 90 inches. I mean, it's still a big TV, but not this massive, you know, Titantron.
It looks like something that is really expensive, but you could buy, as opposed to like something that's incredibly stupid. You can't even get on like that. You'd have to order custom. Basically.
Yeah. No, this definitely wasn't that.
Okay.
Yeah, because I saw a few other people. I'm like, well, that's a big screen. I was like, well, I mean, you can get it at Best Buy. That's not a knock, by the way. This just was a TV, 90-inch TV.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. So, do you want to dive into it now?
Okay.
Sure. Yeah, let's go in. Let's
go ahead,
actually...
Joe. Ask away. I'm not gonna lead the pack. So... ask me the questions, and I will answer.
Okay.
As my dog runs around me.
So, first question, I guess, is like, it's a flying theater, literally.
Yes. I know some people were like, it is Minions 2.0. I saw some comments about that, but in a grander scale, it is that you actually walk in to a quasi Tonight Show set.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the only thing being a big screen in front of you. But it is made to look like you're going to sit down in his audience. So it is, quote unquote, a flying theater.
It's a very literal term for that, as opposed to the flying theater used for Soarin' or something.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
So in that regard, yes, they are correct that it is the first ever flying theater, but the technology itself isn't exactly new.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's sort of like how Gringotts is like the Mummy plused.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like Minions plus,
and not Spider-Man, like Simpsons plus.
Correct. Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Here. How about this? It's like Star Tours without the enclosement.
Okay.
And bigger, obviously.
Okay. So, what were your thoughts on the ride vehicle itself? Because I've seen some comments like it looks kind of bad.
Well, it's the first day of soft opening, so I'm thinking some things aren't exactly done yet.
So, yeah, okay. So let's review the attraction on full in April.
Right. I'm not going to – I mean, those things, like if like someone posted a picture, oh, look, there's a fire extinguisher on top. Of course, I realized the date was January 29th. Well, duh, there's construction still going on.
Yeah.
I can't really knock for things that aren't show ready per se.
Okay.
The attraction itself, though, the film, that can't change between now and then. So
let's talk about the show film. So we might as well just say spoilers and say, hey, guys, we're going to be spoiler-filled from here on out. And also, we'll talk about just everything that's bad or good. So, hey, there you go. So let's talk about the show film. Brian, I haven't seen anything yet. I don't know anything, so... blast me away, and I'll respond as I can.
Okay. So let's talk about the vehicle itself with the ride, like the actual film.
Okay.
Very, very smooth.
Okay, cool. That's good.
Not jerky, so families can ride it. Even though there's a height restriction, little Timmy that's 3 years old should have no problem riding it.
Mm-hmm. As opposed to Minions or something like that.
Correct. But... you don't feel, at least in my opinion, it doesn't really feel like you're racing. It feels sort of like you're coasting.
Yes.
The flying and the racing part of the attraction is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Once we go beyond that, it gets a little weird.
Okay.
Again, spoilers. So you're basically going through New York with a race of Jimmy Fallon. There are no cameos from any celebrities. I thought at least we can find Justin Timberlake
point. So no Justin Timberlake at all.
No Justin Timberlake.
Wow,
because no
I thought there was like some – like there were some people who were like, I swear Justin Timberlake will be in it. I'm like, okay.
I would have thought that too. I would have thought somebody at least from SNL, whether it be Horatio Sanz or Tina Fey.
Or someone.
Make some like one-off in the back appearance, but nope.
Huh. Interesting. So how does the ride film begin?
You're in the studio. You take off through the studio, you know, through the hallways. You bust
the curtains open, I assume.
Right, yeah.
And then you just like Jimmy's like, "Hey, I'm racing with you right now," or something, I assume.
Yeah, well, in the pre-show it says, "Hey, we're going to race." And it's like, "Okay."
And Jimmy's like, whoever loses, they have to buy the next case of Natty or something, whatever.
It's for the Tonight Show Cup.
Oh, come. The Tonight Show Cup. What is the Tonight Show Cup?
It's a cup that you race for through New York.
Oh, sure. Why not? Oh, man. We have a show title right now. Anyway, sorry.
It's a race for a cup.
It's a race for a cup. So they open. So is he on the ride vehicle when they open?
Yeah, he comes through. You have the Roots and Steve or Higgins, and he goes, "All right, you guys ready?" And then he comes through with the Tonight Rider, and it's all right. Off you go. You go through the halls. You bust out through the walls. Then you're on the streets of New York, battling traffic.
Okay.
And then you're through the subway.
Okay.
And then you're flying. That's fine. That's entertaining enough. Like I said, I'm not really big on Jimmy Fallon's humor myself. I think Fallon fans will eat it up, though.
Okay.
But then after the fly, you just dive into water because Great White.
You have to get wet sometime during a Universal ride, right?
And, you know, you actually don't get – maybe if – I don't know if it wasn't working correctly or not. I mean, I did feel water, but it honestly felt like a mist, not really a splash.
I'm gonna err on the side of caution and say probably not working.
We'll see.
Yeah. Sorry. I hate to be that asshole, but, like, you know.
I know. When I saw that we were going through the water, I kind of braced for the splash. I was like, oh, it's a nice mist. Okay.
Another show title. Sorry. Got to write that one down too. Anyway, continue, Brian.
It's a nice mist. And then that's, like I said, the final third kind of gets weird. Hashtag becomes a 300-foot panda on top of the Empire State Building.
Oh, so like Maggie from The Simpsons.
Yeah. And Then he throws you to the moon.
Okay. And, okay.
And for some reason, the Roots are already on the moon.
Well, I mean, they're the Roots. I mean, they're in Philadelphia. They're on the moon.
And then it goes, okay, well, now there's a space coaster that takes you back to Earth, but it's not finished yet. So you get on the space coaster.
Yes.
And then you're just kind of coasting. And then Fallon goes, oh, don't worry. My Tonight Rider has a hyperspace tube that takes us back to Earth. And he just kind of throws something out, and then there's a tube. And then you're back in the audience. Other than you back through 30 Rock before you finish.
That sounds not great. Sorry, I hate to be like that, that voice, but man, that doesn't sound good.
From at least my opinion, and I don't know if they did that as sort of a meta reference, because Fallon does make a slight mention of it. It seemed like they thought, okay, what can we do in 3D that we could throw, you know, in people's faces, quote unquote. And there's a part where Jimmy Fallon has a t-shirt gun where paraphrasing here, but it's like, oh, well, that's right, we're a 3D ride. Well, what can we do with a 3D ride? Oh, wait, I have a t-shirt gun, and starts shooting him. And he goes like, I wonder if there's a place you could buy this apparel after the ride.
Okay, I could give him that one in sort of a way. It's sort of like, but like you have to structure the joke well. That's not a really good structured joke. Like if I was writing that, it wouldn't be like, I wonder if there's a place you could write buy the apparel. It'd be more like, it's like sort of like, Higgins, what happens if they can't catch the shirts afterwards? Like, oh, don't worry, they'll buy it afterwards anyways. You know, like something like that. You know.
That probably is not any better, Joe.
Yeah, well, I try. That's why I'm an engineer, not a scriptwriter.
No, I mean, it's like The Simpsons, you know, foolish earthlings, don't you know all rides end at a gift shop?
Yeah, but even that's like somewhat clever in a way, even though the ride doesn't end in a gift shop, if you really think about it.
Moving on.
Anyway, so moving on, what are your final thoughts on the attraction in general? We talked about a general rating before. So what would you rate the queue experience and the ride experience individually? And just like your overall thoughts.
Queue experience. Do I want to give it a 10? That's what I'm thinking.
Out of five?
Okay. All right. Out of five.
No halves. It's got to be 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5.
Then 5.
5? Really? It sounded like a 4. So, okay, cool. 5. 5.
I enjoyed, like, I was there for 45 damn minutes, and I enjoyed every minute of it.
Okay.
I don't know if I can do it over and over. That's why I'm like, I would give a 4.5, but you said no half, so I'll lean towards a 5.
Well, I know you enough that if you give something a 5, it must be good. So, okay, cool. What would you write? What would you rate the attraction, the ride experience itself?
No halves?
No halvesies. Can I predict what you're going to rate it?
Sure.
2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Universal, if you're listening, 5.
No, please don't tell them 5. No, it's got to be. I'm gonna throw this out here right now. I think they thought you would say that also. Throwing that one out there.
Well, here's the thing, and I don't want to sound like an apologist. It is a nice addition to round out the park. It is not Potter, it's not Kong, and it's not meant to be. I'm not a big fan of Fallon, but I was really looking forward to this ride.
From a like theme and character aspect, it's a nice addition to round out the park.
Correct. I think everything that doesn't include Jimmy Fallon is a winner.
Okay.
I think once you get into the ride, and like I said, it's fine, but the third act just kind of starts getting weird.
Mm-hmm.
And I know theme park plots aren't really supposed to make sense, but it's also, but you're also not supposed to feel weird. Like Star Tours, like, why am I battling Darth Vader and now I'm running away from the First Order. That doesn't make sense to me.
It's not like the last third of Star Tours, all of a sudden you're in Star Trek.
Right. So, but at least that has the excuse of, oh, they just threw something on a ride that existed.
Yeah.
And now they're building a whole 12-acre land about it.
Okay. Yeah. I mean,
it's I think Fallon fans will love it, though. Fallon fans will eat this up, and I think the general public will have a better feeling for it. But I think theme park fans, the fans that go on the forums, who heavily criticize everything, this is not for them. And I think that's okay. Like I said, I don't want to sound like an apologist, but this is I think Kong was for the fans. I think this was more for the GP.
Okay. Which is interesting because, like, I think there's a lot of fans who are like, Kong sucks, so.
I'd say it's 50-50.
What I've seen personally is kind of a thing where it's, I think people who've followed the development of Kong are way more disappointed in what it became than the people who didn't.
Especially
considering the fact that Kong didn't replace anything except a water reservoir. And a small, like, grouping of bushes, as opposed to something like, you know, Frozen, which replaced Maelstrom, which is what I've seen is a better ride, technically, but, like, does it fit? Eh. So, anyway.
It is a win from certain aspects. It transforms an area of the park and connects it thematically.
And it makes that area look way better.
Yeah, in fact, I grabbed a picture from walking... Well, I guess at that point I was walking out, but what you would see walking into the park, and it really just... It looks better than... I hate to say this, than the Twister billboard just randomly being there.
It looks fantastic. It really looks good. Looks really good. And I mean, that's I think my issue, and I think it's your issue with Universal Studios Florida is, like, after they did Islands of Adventure, the problem is you have this awkwardly kind of like staged walkway area into the park. You no longer just walk from the parking lot into a soundstage into a theme park. You're now supposed to be prepared to be into a theme park, and all of a sudden there's Minions and Shrek, and you know it gets weird.
Right,
they kind of need to work on it. So they're working on it. So it's all good. Anything else with Fallon? Actually, no. Do you know what? I lied. I'm sorry. So I posted a question on the Orlando United forums.
Oh, you did you?
Yes, I said doing a podcast tonight with Brian Mann. Got any questions for us? So. Shirka 38 asks, does Race to New York utilize screen technology?
Utilize just screens.
Yeah. Screens, not screen technology. Next one is Gadget Guru. He says, love hearing those words, which I responded to being, I never said this is Orlando United Radio. I'm just saying we're doing a podcast. so his question, or their question is, sorry, what's so great about the queue experience? What does it do that Kong or Potter doesn't? Does it matter if somebody doesn't know anything about the Tonight Show, its characters, or its segments?
It's people's, well, I mean, hashtag may be hit or miss depending on who you are. Mm-hmm. But a bulk of the presentation is by the Ragtime Gals, and it's music. Mm-hmm. Everybody loves music, and they take all bits, whether it be hip-hop, or pop. The songs they sang was Hot in Here and Started from the Bottom, and then I think they sang Wrecking Ball, or one of those Miley Cyrus songs.
So it sounds like the Antojitos band in a way.
Yeah, just a cappella.
Okay.
I think Kong gets appreciated more from the queue from us nerds because they know the process it takes. Whereas fans are like, oh, that's cool, but they don't really like let it sink in. It offers entertainment, whereas Kong doesn't. I mean, other than that one boo hole. I think people are more enamored with the Potter queue because there's things they recognize that's entertaining them. The moving pictures, it's a theme, but it's also presenting a story and is entertaining between their banter. You know, the kids when they come out of the dark arts room classroom, with the snow appearing, that's a big, you know, win for fans. When you're like, oh, it's snowing in here. So there's stuff to do in the queue for 30 Rock, or for Fallon rather.
Okay.
So like I said, it may not be overtly themed, but it's a really well done representation and recreation of 30 Rock, and you can either sit and lounge or enjoy what's presented.
Hey, cool. Next question from Next Big Thing asks, is the queue entertainment reason enough to warrant this attraction's existence?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they can know, look, worst case scenario, say Fallon goes on a drinking binge. He could be easily replaced, and they could still do an acapella group. May not be the Ragtime girls or gals, but it's an acapella group singing. Mm-hmm. You know, this attraction seems, if things really go sour for whatever reason there may be, that it can be easily transitioned out in 6 months.
What I've seen a lot of was beforehand is like, this is an attraction that was really could be developed with multiple properties in mind, as long as it focuses on the 30 Rock kind of brand, whether it be the Tonight Show or 30 Rock the Show or SNL or any of those kinds of things. So, yeah.
Honestly, if they decided, okay, let's not do a Tonight Show ride, let's do NBC The Ride, which goes through their greatest hits. They can do that within 6 months, as long as it takes the right film and setting up the movement to it. It honestly could be transitioned like that, and they wouldn't have to touch a thing.
It could probably be 3 weeks.
If they can do it in 3 weeks, then yeah, 3 weeks.
Yep. Okay, cool. Next question comes Tyro. He asks, does hashtag the panda have a big presence? So I think the answer to that is yes.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Do you want to explain any more, or?
Well, I don't know if it's first day hype that they were getting him out as much as possible, but he was everywhere. He was he did the meet and greet with fans. He did his dance stick on the stage. Mm-hmm. He was meeting guests in the line just for reasons, and apparently he was outside at one point. So
okay, yeah, and it looked like the actual photos were like outside the park, like in that, like, you know, like when you exit the park but you're not outside like those boundaries with the like the arches.
Uh-huh.
Like, it looks like he was in that area.
Oh okay, yeah, so
interesting. Anyway, next question comes from Quinn Mac 000. They ask, do you see more plans for Q experiences like Race Through New York starring Jimmy Fallon for future attractions, and which existing attractions do you think would benefit from that Q kind of experience or changes?
I think smaller C tickets, B tickets. If Minion Mayhem had an extra room, I'd mm-hmm. say that seems right for it. I don't think – well, again, we don't even know what's coming, but Nintendo – I think some attractions that may be coming, the queue experiences is warranted.
Okay.
Like, you want to walk through Hogwarts Castle, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not just two rooms. So it really depends on the attraction itself. I think this was probably the first of something, but I don't think it's the norm going forward as far as everything going to be virtual queue.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem is, like, when everything's a virtual queue, nothing's a virtual queue. And then everything's incredibly like crowded, and it's a very specific tactical use of technology.
Correct. Yeah. And I don't think they want to put like with this, the entertainment's the big win in the second lobby. I don't think they want to put that kind of workforce in every ride.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people. Too. I mean, there's a lot of people. So the next three questions from Alex Show. The first question is, how is the visual effects compared to other attractions on property?
It's really well done. I'll give it that. It's really well done.
It's ILM.
The problem is the graphics are meant to be on a 100-foot-tall screen. But when it's condensed into a computer laptop, it's going to look funny.
Okay.
It's the same thing with Kong. Kong looked really weird on a 60-inch 1080p, but when you stretch it, it looks fine.
Okay. Okay, cool. Second question. What were you surprised about with this attraction?
The lobby.
The lobby?
I didn't expect to be so high on it. When I heard initial people review it through TM previews, they were really high up on it. And I was like, that's one thing I didn't expect. I thought everyone would be high on the 30 Rock thing. Like when we first heard the rumor, everyone's like, well, hey, now New York's going to be New York. And that presents some great opportunities, especially during the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
But to see and hear everyone saying the lobby is great, and then actually experiencing, be like, okay, they weren't lying. That was really surprising to me.
Cool. Third question: do you think it may be possible for an update once Fallon takes his leave for a future replacement?
Yeah, like I said earlier, if you took out Fallon and they made it NBC experience, nothing would have to change as far as the lobby or the second floor. Other than the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
It's easily something that they can transition to real quick as my dog squeaks his toy around the table.
Yeah, it's great. It's absolutely fantastic. That's why we're on professional. Come on, man. This is the greatest part. The 12th man asks, does this live, quote unquote, live up to Universal's claim of, quote unquote, first ever flying theater? I think we kind of tied into that a little bit about, like, it's a very literal.
Yeah, it's – I mean, at the end of the day, it's PR speak.
Yep.
But technically, yes. Just like technically Volcano Bay is a water theme park, but I wouldn't be mad if you just said it's just a water park. I get it.
Yep. Schmoobzy asks, how long do you expect this attraction to last?
I think every attraction has a lifespan of 10 years.
Okay.
Certain ones can go beyond that. I think as a Jimmy Fallon attraction, no more than 10.
Okay. So that's all the questions that we had on OrlandoUnited.com on the forums. So shall we segue a little bit?
Sure.
So
there's no questions from the Parkscope Twitter account?
No, I didn't post any on there.
For shame.
I know, because I know how to segue, man. I know I know what I'm doing, bro. I got this, fam.
My bad, bro.
It's all good. It's all good. So I guess the real big little discussion we need to have, real big little discussion, not to be oxymoron here, is how do you want to, like, okay, so we can, so we've been talking about this a lot, so I'm not sure how we want to talk about this, but, excuse my cough.
Go on.
Go on, yes, I know I'm trying. You've been the owner for Orlando United for 9 years now, correct?
Yep, 9 years yesterday.
9 years yesterday, congratulations.
Thank you.
And Orlando United and Inside Universal are going to be forming a homunculus or a something. They're going to be combining to form sort of a one kind of destination spot for all Inside Universal information, whether it be from Hollywood or Orlando. I've seen a lot. I know a lot about what's going on, so I don't want to say anything else. But do you kind of want to explain maybe like, in your own words, like what's happening, what's going on? I can answer some questions because I just want to make sure like people can hear this and be like, okay, cool, yeah, I can understand that as opposed to reading it.
Sure. First of all, I know Universal.
God damn
it.
I
am big on it.
God. Oh, God. I need another beer.
I have a tremendous knowledge of Universal. I want to build a great big site between us.
I'm gonna see you next. I'm gonna punch you in the fucking face. Well, I love you, Brian. I love you.
All right. So, Orlando United always started off as sort of a not being serious. It sort of just became what it was today by accident.
You wouldn't say.
Yeah. and, you know, when we always wanted to expand coverage besides Orlando United, we were always hampered by, A, the name, where you can't cover most other places with your name Orlando United. And, B, even when we talked about, okay, well, at least let's do something California, the thought process was, and I'm not trying to blow anyone's up the ass right now, but, well, Inside Universal covers Hollywood better than anybody. I'm not going to try to compete with that.
I mean, they live out there, so
that also would help them tremendously. Yeah. Tremendous. Mm-hmm.
God damn it.
So, you know, there came a point where John and I started having a discussion about possibly merging, and it sort of blossomed from there. And the thought process was, well, besides obvious reasons of the Orlando United name.
Do you want to explain that some, actually?
No. I mean, okay. It's very clear that, you know, it hasn't been exactly easy, and by the no ways it's a bitch fest, but it hasn't been easy with your site being now associated with a mass shooting and people coming to your site asking, what the hell does theme parks have to do with the Pulse? Well, it sort of was a tragic accident that we had the same name.
Yeah.
So the thought process was more so besides that was, well, if we're both going to cover Universal Coast now, the name Inside Universal goes a lot better than Orlando United. And as much and I know people are worried about us cutting coverage on Disney and SeaWorld, we have no plans on cutting that. It's even as we cover it now, everyone comes to us for Universal. We people see us as one of the experts, one of the premier sites for Universal itself. And the way I kind of described what we're trying to do is sort of like what Disboards did. Disboards are one of the premier sites on Disney.
Yep.
But they said, hey, you know, Universal needs its fair share too. And they did a great job, you know, keeping it together but separate. So that's what we're going to try to do. We're going to focus on Orlando and Hollywood. But we're not going to ignore Disney or SeaWorld, especially because I'm looking forward to Avatar and Star Wars. So,
yeah, and I mean also from like, I mean like even Disboards like appreciates like what's happening with SeaWorld or Universal, and they, like they have podcasts themselves. But like even like WW Magic still does Universal posts and stuff. So, and plus yeah. you have the access too. So it's not like you guys are just going to be like, "Hey, we're shutting this down." No, like, no, we'll still do the access that you guys get for Busch Gardens Tampa or SeaWorld or Fun Spot or any of the random locations around the Orlando area.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, we're still going to be at Star Wars Celebration, regardless of us being inside Universal. It's pretty much just putting our best foot forward between both sites. We have our strengths and Inside Universal has their strengths, and it's combining the best of both worlds. I know a lot of people have had questions about our forums and the podcast and our Twitter, and honestly we really still don't know. It's such a momentous monumental, that's what I meant, monumental combination merger, you know, that we're merging two databases worth of forum posts and blog posts and telling between the both of us 20,000 followers, well, just on Twitter alone, 20,000 followers. Okay, now this is what you got to do from now on. So it's trying to pick and choose the best course of action.
Well, it's also hard to be like, hey, we have a diagonally post. Which one, like, reigns supreme? How do we merge them? So it's exactly. Hard.
Mm-hmm. So it's not trying to make any major changes, even though it will have a major change. But I mean, as far as the user experience, that should be impacted the least out of all this. But unfortunately, there will still have to be some compromises. We just don't know what those compromises are yet. And I feel like so like corporate saying that, but well, we don't know, because we, you know, we had ideas. Okay, do we separate the podcast? Do we keep it together? And both sides have a decent argument. And same with the Twitter handle. You know, how can you have one Twitter handle for Inside Universal, but Halloween Horror Nights going on at the same time at both coasts? That's going to confuse the hell of a lot of people. But you still need, you know, it's the flip side is, but you also combine everything together. So when not everything's happening on the same day, people can see, oh, that's going on in Hollywood. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still some decisions to be made.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Are there any questions for me on this? I mean, like, we've been talking about this for months, so it's kind of weird. Yeah. Do you have anything else to say, or we can close it up right now? So I'm just making sure.
No, I don't think so. I think we covered everything. I mean, I'm sure the I lost my train of thought. Oh, awesome. No, I got it. I'm sure the listeners or you know, followers of our site would have more questions than you, just because you're kind of part of it.
Yeah.
So you're inside the box versus outside.
Yeah, I exactly. It's like my thing is like I have so many questions, but I know all the answers right now, so it's hard to figure out what I could ask, sort of situation. So I guess the best thing to do is go to the Orlando United Forums. And there's a post called The Future of the Site, I believe, or something like that.
A note from the editor.
Oh, a note from the editor. Go there, check it out, read what the responses have been. Go see it, respond back, give Brian feedback. If you're on the IU forums, I think John Fu has a post out there too, so check that out.
He does.
Yeah, I've seen it. But please respond, because, I mean, the best way that Brian and John Fu can respond is, like, saying, like, hey, seeing these things and responding back, and, again, I'm not blowing smoke up your ass, Brian, but, like, hey, my part of my job is helping this progression and making sure everything's cool with everyone. So my job is easier when all of our listeners go and help things out. So just saying. So, yeah. It's been about an hour now. You have about 45 minutes to edit a video until you do a conference call with someone on the West Coast. So yep. I don't want to keep you any much longer. So, Brian, for the next, I don't know, few months, where can we find you on Twitter at?
You can find me at WDWNT.
Well, we know how much you love about breaking news and clickbait stories. So, oh man.
Breaking.
Man.
I have a dog.
You can find me at Parkscope Joe on Twitter. You can find all of us at Parkscope.
Actually, though, today I will say appropriate use of breaking.
Yeah. Oh, what's going on? What?
Today was the appropriate time to use it.
Oh, yes, it was. Yes. I'm sorry. I thought you were, like, dropping some news. No, it's like, oh, yeah, they announced Nintendo. And I'm like, what? Or something like that, you know? I mean, the Switch is coming out tomorrow. I'm getting my Switch. I'm gonna play some Zelda, bro.
I will not, so you tell me how it goes.
You will know everything about my Switch experience. But anyway, yes, so follow me at Parkscope Joe. Follow us all at Parkscope. Leave us a good review at Parkscope Podcast Hour, like anywhere you do reviews. I'm not really sure. It'd be super cool. Really great. And we need more reviews. On behalf of Brian and behalf of all the Parkscope guys, Lane, Nick, Sean, Mike, the other one. That sounds okay. Like most of them. Sure. yes, we'll see you next time. Love everybody, hate everything. Kungaloosh.